Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you all again here in Siloam, to worship God together and to hear something of his word. Let's read from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and beginning at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive what is due to them for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. I particularly want you to notice verse 9. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. We have a family of friends in Ratcliffe-on-Trent, near Nottingham. And there are three boys in that family. And some years ago, when they were teenagers, they're all grown up now, but when they were teenagers, they were very keen supporters of Nottingham Forest Football Club. Any Nottingham Forest supporters here? Well, we were visiting them at one time, and there'd been an important game there, and the program was left lying around. I thought it would be interesting to have a look at it. Wherever I see words on a piece of paper, I like to read them, even if it's just on the top of the sauce bottle. But I read this program from Nottingham Forest Football Club. It had all the usual things, the adverts from different firms in Nottingham and the district, and the list of the teams, the people who were playing on Nottingham Forest side and on the opposing side. And at the top, in the middle, it was a folded thing like this, and right across the top at the middle were these words: at home or away, our goal is to please. At home or away, our goal is to please. Now, I wonder if Brian Clough, who was the manager at that time, I presume he brought those words to the program, I wonder if he realized at the time that he was quoting from Scripture. Right? That's what we've just read, isn't it? Only slightly different. So we make it our goal to please him, to please God, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, at home or away, our goal is to please him. And that's the big difference, isn't it, between a football team that aims to please the fans or to please the manager or to please the shareholders or whoever it might be, but our aim as Christians is to please the God who saved us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember that when we aim to please God, it's not so that we might make ourselves pleasing to him, or that we might make God pleased with us. He's pleased with the way we behave when we serve him, but he loves us whether we are pleasing him or not. That's the amazing thing about our God, isn't it? Even when we turn away from him, even when we please ourselves, even when we do things that he doesn't like, he doesn't leave us or forsake us. We can trust in his faithfulness even when we are unfaithful. That's not an excuse for being unfaithful, mind. But it is to show the glory of the grace and the wonderful mercy of our God. When I was in pastoral ministry, at one time there was a young man who came to see me, and he had lots of questions on his mind about the Christian faith, about life, about science and religion, and all the sorts of things that people ask, you know. And he came week after week with all these questions. And after about 6 weeks, he said, well, what do you think is the point of these discussions we're having together? What are we aiming for? And I said, well, my aim, I don't know what yours is, my aim is that you might come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you might know the grace of God. And he went away again, and he came back in the next week, and he said, I've realized what you're trying to say. It's not that we're earning brownie points. It's that God loves us just as we are. I said, yeah, you got it. And he asked to be baptized then and became a member of the church. It was wonderful to see that progress, how he realized what it meant to be pleasing to God. Now, the New Testament tells us many things about how we can be pleasing to God, how we can please God. The first thing I want to bring to you is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, which says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. In other words, you need faith in God. You need to believe that God exists in order to please him. Obviously, if you don't believe God exists, you're not bothered about pleasing him. You just want to please yourself. But that's not enough. The letter from James says, you believe in God, that's great. Even the demons believe and shudder. But the writer of the Hebrews goes on, believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He rewards those who earnestly seek him, not those who casually or carelessly seek him. Those who earnestly, those who put their heart and soul into looking for God. Not that you're going to see him necessarily with your physical eyes, some people do, but mainly looking for God means looking for his presence with us moment by moment. Not necessarily looking for great big experiences where we're thrust into an ecstasy of praise or transfixed with a vision of some sort. Those things do happen. It's wonderful when they do. But seeking God is wanting to know that God is with you moment by moment and day by day, earnestly seeking God. It's not just a matter of believing him, but seek him because he rewards us. And seeking not just his rewards, but seeking him, God himself, not just for what we can get out of him, but because he is worth seeking, because he is our God, our Creator, and our Savior. Then when Paul writes to the Colossians, he encourages the people there to please God by living a life worthy of the Lord. Colossians 1:10. You may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Every good thing that you see that you can do will bear fruit for God. Sometimes we might do a good turn for somebody and perhaps they don't say thank you, they don't seem to be bothered that we've done anything, but just keep on because you're doing it for the Lord. Don't tell them you're doing it for the Lord or they'll think you're not doing it for them. It's a bit of a dilemma really, isn't it? We do things for people. Because we love them, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, because God himself wants to bless these people through us, through his people. And so we do those things and we go on doing those things because God continues to work in us as we try to please him day by day. We please him by praising him. Back in the Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31, says, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hoofs. You know, they brought sacrifices in Old Testament times to the tabernacle in the desert and to the temple in Jerusalem. They brought pigeons, they brought lambs, they brought goats, they brought bulls, oxen, all kinds of sacrifices at different times of the year. But the important thing, says the psalmist, is to please God by bringing praise and worship to God. It's the condition of the heart. It's not the things that you bring that please him, although he is pleased when we bring things. And when we live sacrificially, it's not always easy, as we say, to do good and share with other people. It's a sacrifice. But that's what Hebrews says. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Do-gooders don't always get a good press, do they? Some say that if you want to be a do-gooder, you know what's good for people better than they know themselves. And that can be a bit pretentious, can't it? It can mean that you're proud and you know something that they don't know. And that puts you above those people. And that's not where we should be. We should be putting other people higher than ourselves. And so we shouldn't assume that we know what's good for people. We must find out what they really need and what they really want. But I would say it's better to be a do-gooder than a do-badder. We want to do the things that please God. And after all, we are following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 15:3, Paul says, each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Christ did not please himself. Many years ago, while I was in college, in one of my vacations, I worked in a department store in Blackpool. I was born and brought up in Blackpool, as some of you probably know. I've probably mentioned that before. And there was a store there, R.H. O'Hills. I don't know if you remember that from way long time long ago in Blackpool. The building's been taken over by other businesses since then. But at that time, I was working in the gentleman's outfitting department, a bit of are you being served sort of place, you know. And the people would come in from different parts of Lancashire and other parts of the country and of the world, indeed. And these they would be looking at all the things, and we had a counter with men's gloves on it. And there were two women came in one day, and they were looking for a pair of gloves for the husband of one of them, I presume, or the son. And one of them says to the other, what do you think, Maggie? And Maggie says, please yourself, Florrie. Please yourself. We always like to please ourselves. And then, of course, when they'd finished their transaction, I had to go back and sort all those gloves out again in their proper places. We used to say, if it weren't for the customers, we'd get some work done. Because if it weren't for the customers, we wouldn't have any work, would we? But please yourself, she said. And we do like to please ourselves. But Christ did not please himself. As we've seen it on the screen and singing, not my will, but yours be done, he said. He wanted to please his Father in heaven. And that's a good example to follow. And to deny our own pleasure if it causes someone else to stumble. It might be something that's all right for us to do, but it's better that we don't if it can affect someone else. There was a great problem in the early church. Meat that they had for their dinner was probably part of a consignment out of which had been taken an offering to one of the pagan gods, to Artemis or Apollo or Zeus, you know, all the gods of Greece and Rome that different people worship. The only way to get meat was from the butcher shop, where you normally get meat, but the butcher had probably attended a religious ceremony to one of these gods and offered some of the meat to him. And some of the Christians said, well, we can't eat that meat that's been dedicated to some other god. Another Christian said, well, of course we can, because that other god doesn't really exist. It's only a god of stone or wood or something, a figment of people's imagination. Our God is real. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So we can give thanks to God and eat all the food that that we need. Not necessarily all that we want, because that can be too much, can't it? But we eat any kind of food. As Jesus declared, all food's clean. But it was an argument, it was a problem. It caused friction in the early church because there were these two different ways of thinking about whether you should eat meat offered to idols or not. But what Paul says is, yes, you're quite right, you can eat anything. But if there's someone at a party perhaps, or comes to your house and you're eating meat, and they say, well, that's been offered to an idol, it's not good pure meat, then it's better not to eat it, and if you're going to upset his faith, if you're going to let that person stumble, get into difficulties with his faith. You get the idea. Think of the other person as well as our own personal satisfaction. And there are more things in the scriptures. We can't go into all of them, but I'd like one that just sums it all up in 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally, brothers, Paul says, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. More and more, to think all the time about how you can please God and live that way. With the help of the Bible and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can all find out what we can do to please God, and then we can do it by his grace and strength more and more. May God bless us as we seek to please him with all our lives. Now we know that one thing that pleases him is to remember the Lord and his death in the way that he invited us to do. And we come to the Lord's table to remember his death on the cross, his broken body and his shed blood for us.